You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann. It is the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Wednesday, November 8th, 2017. A year ago, we saw the election of Donald Trump. Welcome to the swamp. Thanks for joining me this morning. Thanks for I'm going to be taking an in-depth look at tomorrow's headlines today as I delve deep into a number of important issues, again, facing all of us wherever you are in the free world. And one thing, I want to bring everything full circle, I think, today. I hope to do that. Regardless of your political leanings, biases, whatever, I think what we're seeing now is the unraveling of various conspiracies. I think we're seeing the acceleration to push to the forefront the exposure of a criminal cabal so deep, so broad, that it would just suck the life, suck the air out of any room whatsoever. Even people like Rush Limbaugh are talking about what is taking place and mentioning things that heretofore have not been mentioned. I'm going to start off and ultimately finish up with the same thing. And again, that's the exposure of the criminality in Washington, D.C. But it's more than that, because we know they're criminals. We understand. Everyone knows. It's not a secret anymore. But I think we're seeing something very interesting happen right now. And a linchpin of what is happening, just one linchpin of what is happening, is having an insider, a Clinton insider, talk. And I don't think too many people really understand the broad significance of the news of Donna Brazile. Now, you may roll your eyes and say, oh, you know, she's just wacky, crazy, whatever. But when you look at the big picture, and again, I'm a proponent of the big picture, you can see some dots that are connecting, dots that we, as the Hagmann Report, myself, as my show, have said, look, these dots connect. And in my office, I've got both a whiteboard and a large corkboard. And when I handle cases, I create index cards and I create string, at least on several cases, or on the whiteboard, certainly mapping all of the players, everything out. And it becomes clear when you do that, when you take the time and do that. And by the way, it takes a lot of time, a lot of vetting. But when you do that, you can see a more concise, a more accurate picture as to what is taking place. But here we are right now, a year after Donald Trump successfully won the office of the president, we are seeing an exposure of criminality that's being accelerated. It's almost as if some people are finding their conscience. Their conscience. I don't believe that. I believe it's more of a cover your own butt kind of affair. And this past week, although it's gotten some news, I don't think it's got the accurate portrayal of what it deserves. This is this is a very important piece of evidence. The book written by Donna Brazile and her assertions in the book. I would urge everyone not to take this lightly. I would look at this for what it is and the implications of this. And stay with me now for this entire program, because I'm going to be connecting some pretty significant dots going all the way back to the murder of Seth Rich. And the strange situation with Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Awan criminal cabal that exists, that is the infiltration of the Democratic National Committee. And not just that, it's more than that. It's the infiltration of the House of Representatives over more than a dozen years, 80, that's right, 80 House members and three very powerful, very secretive committees have been infiltrated by this Pakistani international criminal cabal led by Imran Awan. And Wasserman Schultz, in my view, was a facilitator of this, a protector of this operation. Whether she was doing it out of fear of her own life or whether she was being blackmailed, I don't know the answer to that. But that doesn't take away from what's obvious. But what really breathes new life into this is the flying under the radar, this book by Donna Brazil, her book that was just released, and the real issue is how she is being discredited by the very people who once supported her, and this is mind blowing. So I, as customary, have a series of audio clips, but they're all related. Most of them are all related to either Brazil, her reactions, or her description of the environment around the time that Seth Rich was murdered, and then the implications. And by the way, the implications will be clear by the end of this episode. This broadcast will be clear. And it and how this will, I do believe, will affect the Mueller special counsel runaway investigation. Now, some say that, and I've been reading this and I've been seeing this, and folks, I just want everyone to be very careful about this. You hear, oh, Tony Podesta has been arrested, and Hillary Clinton, there's an indictment out, or whom has been. Look, there are so many stories that are planted out there by the people who are against the alternative media. There's a war against the alternative media. It's not just to make us look bad. It's to cast liability on us as well. If I had the time in this broadcast, I could tell you a personal story that involves this liability and. You know, I am seeing this up close and personal. I'm affected by this. I don't want to get into it, but the bottom line is the fact that the grasping, the clawing, the shooting, metaphorically speaking, to shut us down has never been greater, ever. It's never been greater. Trust me when I tell you this. It's never been greater. And in fact, I'll just say this. I was seated in a federal courtroom on Monday. Why? Well, again, I'm telling you, there are forces out there, and I'm not going to get into it. I can't get into it. That are their sole objective is to publicly delegitimize me, publicly delegitimize our program, all 5 hours of programming, that is, and to delegitimize others associated with us, and to make sure that we are shut down. Potential guests and guests have been harassed, contacted, and said, don't do the Hagman Report. Oh, we're not going to do the Hagman Report. We can't do it. They're fake news. It's all fake news. But this goes back to Donna Brazile. This is what she is experiencing. And again, I am no fan of Donna Brazile. Believe me. I am a proponent of the truth. That's all. So even if I see, from an investigative standpoint, someone being railroaded, even if it's a bad guy or a not-so-bad guy, it doesn't matter. What I'm saying here, regardless, it's the tactics of the really, really bad people that are in play here against other bad people, perhaps, and many, many good people. These tactics, and I don't want to speak too cryptically here, except to say that the alternative media, all of it, the new media, the honest media, there is this push to shut us up by people that you would not even expect. Well, they're supposed to be good people. They're on our side. No, they're not. And at some point, I will do a tell-all. Believe me. And when I do, it will rock some foundations. Now, I wish I could get into it, but I can't. Boy, can you feel, if you could feel my frustration, you would know. But I have documented everything I'm saying, or everything I'm not saying, and that documentation has been placed in the hands of several individuals. So if I am silenced by whatever means, that story will immediately get out. And when it does, the people that you would think, people that you would think that were stellar, you'd be rethinking things. And again, I don't want to be sound like a tease or being cryptic or whatever. It's just, you know, our legal system, our system of justice is so messed up. Wow. I don't know when the last time the listeners, any one of you have been inside a courtroom as a defendant or plaintiff, but witnessed the workings. Oh my goodness. You talk about it's beyond frustrating, but I digress. Not too much, because this does have everything to do with what I'm talking about. I'm just sharing my heart with you. You know, all I can do as an investigator is, and as a human being, is, and as a Christian, is just to offer you my research findings, a collection of research, a collection of investigation, lay it on the table and say, here, look at this. And it's up to you whether you look at it or not. It's up to you whether you want to believe it or not. And I do my best to support everything I'm saying with evidence. And sometimes, by the way, I can't do that. There are occasions where, I'm bound by certain laws or licensing. Because, look, let me explain this. I'm not a talk show host only. I'm an investigator, multi-state licensed investigator. And many would argue, well, you're really not a talk show host at all. You're a doggone poor one. I get that. I understand that. I'm just a guy. I'm just an investigator trying to appeal to, or trying to bring forth the information to provide you the truth. That's what I'm doing. And sometimes I really suck at it. And sometimes I'm a little bit more prolific and articulate than not. You just never know, you know, sometimes. The reason I say this is, being a licensed investigator, there are certain requirements that I have got to adhere, or to which I've got to adhere. For example, if someone says something to me in confidence, in my capacity as an investigator, if I breach that confidence, it's not just a boy, are you a bad guy. No, the professional licensing is gone. There's some civil and even in some cases criminal liability I can face. So I've got to be very careful. But with that danger also comes that unique perspective and the unique ability to have information others don't. So I'm putting my professional reputation with every broadcast, my professional reputation, my professional career on the line. And I hope that explains certain things, why I can't say certain things. Because, you know, I can access databases, proprietary databases, other people can't. And I'm not talking about the internet, hey, search me, kind of these sites, and I'll tell you all about, you know, your neighbor or whatever it is. No. I'm talking about these databases that have proprietary information that are assembled by court records and by, DMV records and all sorts of records that are not just proprietary, but are under very close scrutiny. And you've got to explain, for example, you know, every inquiry I make on one particular database, I've got to provide very, very legitimate reasons. And those reasons are audited. My use of these databases is audited. And if I have no good, for example, if I see a pretty young lady out there and I have a license plate and I'd like to meet her sometime, you know, I wonder who she is. And I input that license plate into a database to access that information. Oh man, no, you don't do that. Well, you do it once. All right. I mean, so that's just one example to give you kind of an idea of what you're listening to and what I am doing. I hope I explained that well. I think it was necessary to make that to give you that explanation, because in my capacity as an investigator, and if you're a police officer out there, you understand, or for example, you understand you can't NCIC if you access that, holy cow, you know, and there's no legitimate reason, oh boy, right? So having said all of that, a lot of information that is open source I can verify, for example, through the proprietary databases. And some of the open source information, I can also say, no, that's not true, based on the proprietary databases I've got access to. But I want everyone to be very careful with what they're reading and what they're hearing. There's a lot of speculation about who's been, you know, who's arrested and who's going to be indicted and such. Now, I will say this, there will be indictments here, I believe, within the next few days. I'm not exactly certain. There are indictments that are sealed in the D.C. grand jury. That circuit court. Some speculate it's Podesta. Some speculate it's even Huma. Some others even said, "Oh, it's Hillary." I would caution. I would urge a lot of caution. Yes, there are indictments that are sealed, yet to be unsealed or announced. If you want to talk speculation, I do believe Michael Flynn, might be a good candidate there. But, and then of course comes the speculation about, well, Mueller's actually working for good on behalf of Donald Trump, and it's a really complex game of intrigue, and how all of this is going to work out with Mueller and such. No, look, stop that. Stop it. Unless something dramatically changes, that's not how things are playing out. I would caution everyone who has that hope or is gripping onto that hope that, well, you know, Robert Mueller is really working for our team. When I say our team, I'm talking about team Donald Trump, Make America Great Again, and of course rooting out the corruption of the Hillary Clinton camp. No, not so much. Not so much. When you look at how things, I mean, that even kind of assails the common sense approach. But things are changing. And when I say that, and here's how I believe they're changing. Donald Trump is striking back at the deep state and the shadow government. He's doing it with aplomb. He's doing it very, he's got a very unique way of doing this. And this is driving a lot of people crazy, especially on the left. Now, I do believe that initially, I would say initially he began doing this by accident. And when he saw the reaction by the people on the left, by the progressive socialists, by the enemies of the Constitution, he then kind of changed tactics and refined what he was doing. And he's a smart guy. And he's got some pretty interesting, smart advisors along with him. So I'll give him that. But I do believe that he is in peril, both legal peril and real peril from the infrastructure, individuals that comprise the infrastructure of the deep state shadow government. So we have to continue to be careful. And if you just heard that little bell-like shaking, that's my lady's studio dog right at my feet, and she just gave a morning shake there. She comes with me every morning to the office. We go everywhere together, Lady the studio dog and I. So at any rate, so I actually got an email asking me if that was, because that happened one or two other times, and wondering if that was a dog in the background. Yeah. Or do you do this from home? No, I do it from the studio, my office, actually. And at any rate, I thought that was pretty funny. But getting back to the topic, so you've got this latest kind of glossed over by the media, by the conservatives in the media, not really digging as deep as necessary with respect to Donna Brazile. Of course, you know, the big news is, hey, the election was rigged. Well, we knew that. But Donna Brazile said that she feared for her life. And I mentioned this yesterday, but I just want to isolate this and kind of drill down deeper and then a little bit wider and wrap this up and connect some additional dots here in this episode. But Donna Brazile says that she feared for her life after Seth Rich was murdered. And that perhaps is the most shocking revelation contained in the excerpts from Brazile's book, which was buried in the Washington Post review of the various allegations. All right. So of all the things, you can kind of tell when certain points are pushed up and others are not addressed. This is not addressed. Well, it was addressed, but only superficially, and it was just briefly mentioned in the post. But in the aftermath of the WikiLeaks decision to publish this cache of emails that were obtained, stolen actually, from the DNC servers, Donna Brazile said that she became increasingly afraid about a number of things, including, she does mention, well, additional hacks, the efforts outside external pressure to sway the election, which she said that top Democrats told her, don't talk about that. Don't share your concern with others, which I find it very interesting. But even more than that, and this is the point that I think everyone needs to really take to heart, Donna Brazile stated that she feared possible retribution from shadowy elements within the campaign and within the Democratic Party who might blame her for the leak of the DNC emails. And you have to think about this now. And then, after she kind of shared that concern with others and was told to shut up, basically, then Seth Rich was murdered. That murder of Seth Rich, still unsolved, Seth Rich, of course, the IT staffer, put her into a position of fear. And, of course, Seth Rich, who the authorities, the police, said that he was killed during this botched robbery. And, of course, that was picked up by many in the alternative media, saying that there was a plot to kill Seth Rich for his role in leaking the DNC emails to WikiLeaks. Brazil recounts in her book about her fear, to the extent where she feared for her own life while serving as interim chairwoman of the DNC, and began at this point shutting her blinds because she was afraid of snipers, upping her security detail. She wrote that she was haunted by the unsolved murder of DNC data staffer Seth Rich. And again, she feared for her own safety and her own life. She shut the blinds to her office window so snipers could not see her. She installed surveillance cameras at her home. Now, excuse me, when you look at this pattern of behavior, we are not talking about some really Looney Tunes person. You might look at Donna Brazile and say, "Well, boy, she does, you know, she's a few fries short of a happy meal." No, I think that's an unfair characterization. I think that knowing what she knew caused her to do this. And think about being in her position when you have top staffers, Democratic officials, and I would suggest even to the extent of Hillary Clinton telling her to shut up, don't talk about what you know. And you've got with respect to the hacking, I'll just note this. Donna Brazile writes about the hacking that top Democratic officials were encouraging everyone not to talk about it. And that's the best way to avoid slipping up and ruining a narrative. And she writes, and this is her now, but she says in a wake-up moment, or her wake-up moment came when she visited the White House. And this was in August of 2016. And it was at the birthday party for Barack Obama when he turned 55, when Susan Rice, the National Security Advisor, and Eric Holder both pulled her aside and said, "Look, the hacks came from Russia." Okay? I can almost imagine this in this scenario. And you've got to think with kind of a criminal mind, or at least be exposed to that criminal, you know, if you've ever dealt with criminals. Hey, wink, wink, nod, nod. Look, these hacks, it came from Russia, but don't talk about it. But getting back to Seth Rich, she really, in her book, she does not elaborate on her reasons for suspecting that Rich's death may have been a homicide for a pre-planned, premeditated murder as opposed to a botched robbery. But she does write that she too suspected that something nefarious might have been afoot, which is reason enough to take a second look at Rich's death. And when you, and as I had said before in various other programs, in this program, if Seth Rich was murdered as punishment for leaking the emails, or if it was proved, that the emails came from Seth Rich as opposed to Russian hacking, then that would invalidate most if not all of the Russia collusion, Russia hacking, Russia interference narrative that has been propagated by the Democrats, by Hillary Clinton, and by Obama, and even by the special counsel. Now, a couple of things. Let me play this one audio clip. This is from Rush Limbaugh. Of all people who, you know, you would think that, well, he's talking about this. This is from here within the last 48 hours. Rush Limbaugh. Now listen to this, and regardless of what you think about Rush Limbaugh, listen to this, what he says. Listen to what he says, and because I know he knows more than what he's saying. But listen to what he says about the Donna Brazile treatment and, of course, the homicide of Seth Rich and how it kind of interrelates. Go ahead and play the Rush Limbaugh clip one.
The Donna Brazile situation, Democrat Party. It is, folks, this is amazing. We don't see this. We do not see this kind of thing happening in the Democrat Party, and it is happening, and we need to take note of it. We never have had an intimate insider up close and personal with the Clintons, both in their White House days, post-White House days, inside the Democrat Party. We've never had anything like this. There's never been a tell-all book. There has never been, other than, I say, retired FBI agents, but we've never had anything like this. And the drive-bys are actually turning on Brazile. It's actually somewhat predictable, but she is not used to this. That's the thing. Democrats are not used to the treatment that we get, and she's getting it. She's getting it from Tom Brokaw. She's getting it from others in the drive-by me. She's getting it from Fredo Cuomo. She is getting it from the Hillary camp, from all over the place. See where Donna Brazile says in her book that she feared for her life after the Seth Rich murder? She closed the shades in her house so snipers could not see her. Back in a moment. That's right, I wasn't making that up. Donna Brazile wrote that well, you know who Seth Rich was. Seth Rich was a guy that worked at the DNC. And he was murdered outside his home. What? Well, what do you mean we're not allowed to talk about Seth Rich? Well, they may not be able to talk about it at Fox News, so we can talk about it here. Seth Rich worked at the DNC, and it was thought by some that he was the inside source that had leaked the DNC emails and stuff to WikiLeaks. Not the Podesta stuff. That's a different thing. This is the hacking of the DNC. It was thought that he might have been the source, and he was murdered outside his home, and then there were all kinds of reports that, hey, it might have been because somebody's trying to protect this guy, get him, he was a source. And the family said, no, and you're adding to our pain and suffering, and please shut up about it. And they went after Hannity on Fox News and raised all kinds of holy hell about it, and they basically shut it down. And then out of the blue, here comes Brazile in her book claiming that when this guy he was killed. I said murdered, he was killed. She feared for her own life. She shut the blinds in her house so that snipers could not see her. So this has been lurking out there in the unknown while she's been writing the book. Meanwhile, the Seth Rich story came up, and there were people following it. I'm leaving out a key detail on this, that my memory is leaving out a key detail here about why it was suspected that his death was related to this. The cops couldn't find any evidence. They couldn't find a perp, right? That's what it was. And there were people using common sense. Well, the guy worked at the DNC. He was rumored, somebody said he was a leaker, had leaked the stuff. And if he had done that there would have been reciprocity, i.e., you're dead, dude. You don't do this to us. And the family went nuts, saying, you're torturing us with this. Our son was a robbery gone bad or some such thing. And everybody pushing it was shamed into shutting up. And then everybody shut up. Everybody went away. Here comes Brazile's book. The guy gets murdered, and she starts worrying she's next.
Now, that was Rush Limbaugh talking about Donna Brazile, but specifically talking about two aspects here. I think two very closely related but different aspects. Number one, of course, her fears, personal fears for her safety and for her life. All right, that's part one. And the second part is the reaction by both the media, as Rush Limbaugh calls it, the drive-by media. I call it the corporate captured mass media, to Donna Brazile, as well as the political powers or the deep state powers. Now, I certainly don't think that Donna Brazile feared the media you know, being killed or shot by the media, but by the personal, by the powers within that Democratic apparatus. Now, at the epicenter, of course, at the of the Democratic apparatus was who? Was it Barack Hussein Obama? No. Was it campaign chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz? No. Not in this case. She's referencing Hillary Clinton. Just for fun, let me play this segment. Again, this is 30 seconds, but this is Lionel. And I don't know how many people know about Lionel, but Lionel, of course, big an attorney, New York City resident. He's got his own talk show. But here's Lionel describing Hillary Clinton. Again, just kind of as a humor break, go ahead and play Lionel clip one about his reference to Hillary Clinton. Go ahead and play that.
Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton may be the most vile, vile, putrescent, fetid, rancid criminal mind that the human species has ever known. There are no ends, there are no boundaries, no limits to her criminality, to her psychopathy, to her rancid, horrid worldview. She defines, redefines, vile. Have I made myself clear?
And that was Lionel. Now, in addition to the description, which I think is pretty accurate in my view, perhaps you learned a few new words, expanding your own vocabulary, lexicon, as it were, about Hillary Clinton or the people in power within the swamp of D.C. But that, I think that kind of paints the picture of Hillary Clinton, as people within the walls of power know her. She's ruthless. And now compare that with the reaction of Donna Brazile, who has been a close confidant of the Clintons. Their relationship goes back to the White House, to the Clinton White House. But don't forget, too, I mean, remember Vince Foster. And I could go off on a really deep tangent with Vince Foster here, because that there's some. Well, I'm not going to do that, but think about it in that respect, and think about Donna Brazile here, and her reactions. But I think Lionel does an amazing job, if not somewhat humorous, of depicting Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton with respect to the. How she's perceived and how she really is, according to many people. Now, one last audio clip I will play to kind of wrap up this part, this important section about the Clinton criminality and why it's important today, why it's important to what we're seeing with the Mueller investigation, why it's important with the Donald Trump presidency and the, as I mentioned yesterday about, you know, America entering its, America itself and even perhaps President Donald Trump entering this Dealey Plaza moment. I think Roger Stone addresses some of this, kind of rehashing a little bit of what summarizing what you've already heard, but from the Roger Stone perspective. And I say this one more time, regardless of what you think of Roger Stone, whether you like him, whether you don't like him, the information he has because of his positions, his relationships with others inside Washington, you cannot discount. Look, as an investigator, I deal and have dealt with many people I don't care for, all right? But nonetheless, that does not make the information that they provide any less any less valuable or any less pertinent. So go ahead and play the final clip for this episode. This is Roger Stone yesterday on the War Room talking about the ramifications with Donna Brazile. Everything I've been talking about to this point in this episode, go ahead and play the Stone clip one, and that'll do it for the audio clips. Thanks. Go ahead and play that clip now.
Washington has been shaken this week by Donna Brazile, the veteran African-American Democratic Party activist who chaired Al Gore's campaign for president and who would later chair the DNC in the lurch after Deborah Wasserman Schultz became too hot when her emails leaked through WikiLeaks, first revealing the effort by the Clintons to have the DNC cheat to the benefit of Senator Hillary Clinton, or I should say former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Senator Bernie Sanders. In any event, Brazil has rocked the political world when she said that she feared for her own life after the assassination of Seth Rich. She admits in her book to drawing the shades, worrying about whether she was being surveilled by the same people who did Seth Rich in. Now, one only need to go to the stunning interview with Julian Assange, in which he is asked repeatedly about Seth Rich and sources. And he goes out of his way to say three times that sources for WikiLeaks are in great danger for their lives. And at the end of the interview, he, after avoiding the direct question of whether Mr. Rich was a source, he posts a $25,000 reward for information that leads to the apprehension of whoever it was who murdered Mr. Rich. If Assange was not saying that Rich was his source of the DNC documents, what was he saying?
Okay, stop that clip early. Stop it right. Thank you. All right. Now, that was Roger Stone from the War Room InfoWars talking about Seth Rich, the murder of Seth Rich, and WikiLeaks. And, of course, WikiLeaks not saying that, that Rich was the source of the DNC emails, but certainly not denying it and even supporting that by offering the reward. And I think that reading between the lines, I think it's very clear in, that Seth Rich did play a role, or if he did, if he himself did not play a role, then there is someone very, very close to Seth Rich that did. Now, it's amazing. I find this amazing that there are people out there, the family in this case, who have allegedly pleaded with Sean Hannity, for example, don't talk about my son's murder. Don't be, you're politicizing it. But that really didn't come from the family. It came through a family spokesman. And when you start to unravel and unwind all of the players here, you'll find, once again, a direct connection to the DNC, to Hillary, to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And that brings me now to kind of connecting all of the dots using this one Donna Brazil concern that she wrote about. And by the way, I would not be surprised to see her walk this back. There are indications that she is walking certain things back. I wouldn't surprise me one bit. Now that she has written this, it's in her book and it's out in the open, there's this almost like a buyer's remorse, or, you know, gee, I wish I wouldn't have said that, or did I really write that? Because this puts her in a very bad position, and it opens up the possibility in a special counsel situation, or even in a murder investigation, and I'm referencing Seth Rich here, where does she have information of value to that particular murder? But that aside, and those are very out there, tangential kind of things, and I don't expect to see that, but nonetheless, it's when you are operating a criminal enterprise, you've got to make sure that you contain information, contained secrets in this criminal enterprise. So that's why, in my professional investigative view, that's why Donna Brazil had all of these concerns initially after the murder of Seth Rich. She had concerns before, knowing what she knew, and then after he was murdered, those concerns went from concerns to outright fear, and she was taking steps not to be killed. And you may think, well, that's just an overreaction. Well, be careful. Careful with that assumption and careful with that characterization, because neither you nor I were on the inside. And if our, when I say our, I'm talking about the alternative media, the new media, the honest media, if our reporting is correct, then she would have every reason to fear the way she feared. And despite the fact that there was allegiance, obvious allegiance to Hillary Clinton with respect to as shown by her leaking a question to Hillary Clinton. Remember that whole situation. And to those who believe that when she denied that, her lie about that would impeach this testimony, would impeach her credibility about this, you know, look, when you deal with the criminal element, and I'm using this as an example, I'm not calling Donna Brazile a criminal, but when you deal with the criminal element, you've got to, you're playing not in a, you're not dealing with a normal situation. We're not talking about a corporate boardroom here where everyone's sitting around the table and working, for truth. You're in a whole different environment. And the investigators who are experienced in interviews and interrogation, or who have experience in dealing with criminals and criminal behavior and criminal minds, essentially, you know what I'm referring to. And even if you watch cop shows, for example, you'll know what I'm referring to. So this is why this is critical. But where am I going with all this, and why now? Of all the times, I think it must be asked, why now? And let me put something aside here, or cast something aside. I'm seeing on message boards and the response from the Hillary Clinton supporters and DNC supporters, I'm seeing a lot of response. Well, she's attempting to sell a book. Well, that's one hell of a way to sell a book. That you don't do that to sell a book. This goes far beyond this desire to sell a book. Far beyond that. Because it would be foolish. It's like playing chicken with on an interstate. You just don't, unless you're just totally, absolutely, out of your mind, you're not going to be writing this or saying this. So having said all that, how does this fit in? Again, you pull the lens back, you look at all of the events that have taken place with this 2016 election. This is about the globalist grips on power, the belief that Hillary Clinton was going to win the White House, and that she was going to continue the globalist objectives. That's what this entire 2016 election was about. Obama was working during his tenure, his occupancy of the Oval Office. And remember how he came into power. Remember that this unvetted junior senator, Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satoru, remember how he came into office and the objections, or I should say the reporting of the honest media, the alternative media, saying, wait a minute, we don't know who this guy is. And the whole issue with respect to his long-form birth certificate and how that came about. Remember the timing of that. The timing of this is similar. The timing of this exposure by Donna Brazile is very similar to that time. So when you look at this, the entirety, when you pull back and look at this geopolitical landscape here, specifically with everything that was going on inside the swamp or in the swamp, you had 8 years of Obama. You also had 8 years of George Bush, the globalist George Bush. And really, for that matter, you've had a quarter of a century of a family dynasty of globalists. That's right, a family dynasty of globalists. And I'm throwing Obama in there as well. And they were working for one purpose, and that was continues to be undermining the United States. In this case, using laws to recreate recreate the United States, the Republic of the United States. This is what was taking place over the last quarter of a century. The establishment of the police state, this massive NSA surveillance that began in earnest in 2005 under George W. Bush. The capturing of everyone's data beginning in 2005 and the maintaining of that, as I spoke of yesterday. All of this, and of course the weaponization of intelligence. And then Obama comes in and refines that process and opens the door to foreign nationals in this country, opens the door to the Muslim Brotherhood, and brings in Hillary Clinton. And I know I'm rehashing this, but just follow the bouncing ball here for connecting the dots. And you have Hillary Clinton as his Secretary of State for a period of time. And look at what happened. Look at what she had done as Secretary of State, working in concert with Obama to bring in this Muslim component. Obama bringing in the Muslim component. But even parallel to that, or in addition to that, the communist infiltration that was allowed within our government through hirings, through appointments. So you have this, and I have spoken about this before, this red-green axis, this communist Islamic takeover from within. That was expected to be continued with the 2016 election. And bang, Donald Trump wins this election. So what was the, in the run-up to the 2016 election, you had people like, and I will say this, this is my own personal, professional investigative opinion. Seth Rich working with WikiLeaks to expose the criminality within the DNC that was headed at that time by Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz superintending this Awan Brothers cabal. And if you haven't heard about the Awan Brothers, if you're new to this program, we have covered this extensively, this Pakistani national cabal. Working in tandem, Debbie Wasserman Schultz working in tandem with this, where these Pakistani nationals are providing or giving information, off-site information, taking everything that these three major committees and giving this information, putting it on an external server, but ultimately giving this information to our enemies, including but not limited to Pakistan. And by the way, what we're seeing with Saudi Arabia right now, and I've come to this conclusion after a lot of research, plays into exactly what I'm talking about. You know, initially I kind of wondered what the heck is going on in Saudi Arabia. And yesterday, during last night's program, I had asked that question, what's going on in Saudi Arabia? Now, well, in addition to somewhat knowing the answer to that question before I asked it, because of the research I've done, now I can see where the Saudi Arabia issue, the taking down of the specific families that make up this British American intelligence operation known as Saudi Arabia, this is a strikeout against the globalists at this time. And tomorrow I will get more, I will get deeper into that. But just keep that in the back of your mind, because nothing happens in politics by accident, and nothing happens in geopolitics by accident, at least at this level, with this, at this magnitude, with these implications. But you have a strike back against the deep state by the white hats in power. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that with respect to Saudi Arabia. But getting back to Donna Brazil, getting back to the domestic issues here, which again are related to what we're seeing with Saudi Arabia, but getting back to the domestic issues here, you have this criminality that is unraveling. Donna Brazil coming out and saying, look, I feared for my life, connecting Seth Rich to what she had witnessed within the DNC. throwing, sort of throwing Hillary under the bus, Hillary Clinton, especially at this time in the special counsel's operation. I do believe that the timing was not accidental. I think that maybe she intended to write this book, but I think that that intention was someone lit a fire, you know, under her butt to do this, and the timing with the release of this information in book form was done very specifically, especially for this time, to counter the Mueller probe, to counter the continued false narrative that Robert Mueller is investigating Russian collusion. You have to connect the dots on this and kind of think outside of the box. Where this will all lead to, there will be indictments. This is kind of like a tennis. You figure you're watching a tennis match. Somebody serves and the ball goes back, and you know, you watch on TV and the people's heads go back and forth, back and forth. This is what we're seeing right now. You're seeing the back and forth, the shot and shooting back and shooting back and shooting back again. And this is what we're seeing, this war between the deep state, who are comprised of individuals, entities who want to bring down Donald Trump and the Republic of the United States, and the firing back. In this case, Donna Brazil is a pawn, a willing pawn, writing what she knew, and the white hats pushing that to the forefront. Meanwhile, you've got the media just attempting a full court press discredit Donna Brazil. And in some ways, she deserves it. However, again, you're not dealing with corporate board members, stellar people. You're dealing with this criminal element. You're not in a boardroom. You're in an interrogation room. I'm speaking metaphorically now. But do you see what's happening here? So the next volley, I do believe you will see additional indictments being announced perhaps the end of this week. And maybe, just maybe, you may have a Podesta involved in this, along with a Flynn in terms of indictments. But the, remember, Mueller holds all the cards here, so he can strike immunity deals perhaps with a Podesta, but not Flynn. So it's not an equal indictment process. There's no equivalency there. So what we are witnessing is historic, and this is much bigger than the final days of Watergate. In fact, you can't even compare what we're seeing to Watergate. Yet there is no Woodward or Bernstein. And even actually back then, no, I wouldn't even go there. But back then, look, it wasn't what it seemed. It was glamorized and such. But there was very few, very precious few people or alternative media investigating the real hardcore facts of what we're seeing. This is the fight by the globalists to maintain power against the good people, the patriotic people, the pro-constitution people, to expose the criminality, and not just expose the criminality, but to force the hand of the Department of Justice, to force the hand of the legal apparatus to prosecute. But you're not going to, but there's no, in my view, there is no 3D chess game going on here. It is what it is. It's a street fight at that level. So the takeaway from this is we are moving closer to that ABC, the possibilities that I spoke of yesterday. But we're also seeing the resolve of the good people fighting back, and this is part of it. I hope I made sense to you. Folks, please tell everyone you know about the Doug Hagmann Radio Show if you like it. And if you like it, send me an email, studio@HagmannandHagmann.com. Send me an email. Let me know if you're getting any... if you're getting anything out of these programs. Like to get your feedback. Until later, God bless.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.